Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. We help you stay sane in a crazy world. Say hi to your hosts, John Biggs and Lauren Feldman.
Welcome back to Tech Hygiene. I'm John Biggs.
I'm Lauren Feldman.
And in Tech Hygiene, we talk about the things that are affecting us online. And I think, so we have a few things to talk about today. We have a little bit of Triller action going on. We have Facebook, but I think the interesting thing is to talk about like kindness on the internet. Is it still possible? So just talk about why this came up. Is Lauren tweeted at me about Pulaski, who's a Polish general who fought in the Revolutionary War, and I replied that Pulaski's a punk. And I mean, I don't really have that much information regarding his punkishness, but it was a funny thing to do while I was on the couch. And it also is somewhat accurate. But Lauren, you felt aggrieved. Did I hurt you? And I want to talk about.
No, the exact opposite. I was afraid that I offended you.
So how do we communicate online anymore?
Well, I saw a link. From, I don't know where it was from, but I believe it was
Biden is like literally saying, but we thank all our Polish.
Okay, right. It was Biden. Yeah. So I saw a link from presidential candidate Biden saying something about this Polak who I never heard of in my life. I know that Biggs is a Pole. So I was like, hey, I just tweeted at Biggs like, hey, today's a big day for you. We're, you know, the presidential candidate's mentioning some Polak. Look at that. Big day for you. And then he tweets back, he's a punk. And I'm immediately thinking to myself, like, great. You know, I know nothing about the guy. For all I know, he could have killed like, you know, 5 million of his own people. Why is Biden retweeting this? You know, I'm assuming that Biggs, being Polish, knows more than Biden.
Yeah.
Has myself questioning the whole thing. I thought I would brighten your whole day, and obviously I ruined it.
No. I had a lot of fun, and I was actually, and this is an interesting point. So I forget where this was. It was a commentary just on online discourse. And one of the problems with online discourse is that you can kind of expect to see where things are going to go no matter what. And you kind of just jump to the end, right? In most cases, if somebody has some kind of like tweet that like, let's cancel Bill Burr or whatever, you basically jump to the end of that and you just say the obvious thing that it doesn't matter and you're all full of shit and that's the end of the story. There's not a lot of back and forth. There's not a lot of context in this stuff. So in my case, being extremely online all the time, I jump to the end in vast majority of these cases. Cause I mean, we're damned if we do, damned if we don't, even if we support Pulaski, if we support Bill Burr, if we support, I don't know, Trump, et cetera, et cetera. So if we went through down the entire argument, it's just an exhausting process. So there's a lot of shorthand now online, just like you would say, LOL, you would just basically dismiss even a friendly, hey, Poland got a good nod by Biden. And you just dismiss that immediately as not worth actual discourse. And I think that's actually fairly cruel if you really think about it. I mean,
well, you're a prick. I was trying to be nice and you're a prick. You know, the first instinct is for everyone to be a prick.
First instinct.
And it's also different with us because, like, we know each other. We both know each other's sense of humor. You know, like, we were definitely kind of sticking it up. But the point is definitely, you know, remains the same.
But I think...
Here's another example of that. So I said something about Bill Burr. Now, I know nothing about Bill Burr. I've never watched a single frame second of him in my life. I know about him like...
Bill Burr is a George Carlin. He's a George Carlin, basically.
Okay, I know kind of about him and all of that. You know, I have no opinion one way or another. I didn't watch the Saturday Night Live thing. I don't watch Saturday Night Live generally. I don't care. You know, so I commented like, I just don't care about comedians or... cancel culture or, you know, whatever. And some woman on Twitter jumps down my throat who follows me. And I think I've interacted with her before on a pleasant level. And she's immediately like, oh, Do you feel that way every week? Like, and somehow I was like supporting Bill Barr as if that would be a bad thing either way. And it was just so weird and crazy. It's like, I didn't say anything. I just said, like, I know nothing about the guy. And I didn't watch the show. Well, I know nothing about the guy, and I didn't watch the show. And, like, I, you know, so what do you want from me?
So candid honesty doesn't work, because you're basically in a situation where by mentioning something, you immediately, it's shorthand. It's absolute shorthand for everything else associated with that specific thing.
Right. That's what it is. Not even having a point of view or being involved in or picking a side.
Just knowing
about a subject, knowing that Bill Burr was on Saturday Night Live, you know, was enough for this woman to just go berserk on me.
But it's enough for everybody. So, and I was talking with one of my writers on Gizmodo today, and it's like, there are people who just absolutely have to attack on every single front. And I mean, if you don't support PS4 versus the Xbox, you're I don't know, Al-Qaeda, and it's just insane. And so how do we, well, I mean, we can't answer this question. How do we create a discourse that works outside of literally people talking to each other and standing face to face? How do we create a discourse that works online?
No. You can't trust anybody. Everybody's an idiot. There's no privacy. The minute that it's like more than two or three people who know each other, it becomes a disaster. And that's the truth of it all. And, you know, you always ask me the same fucking question every week. Like, what's the answer? And, like, yeah. I give you the answer, which is there's no answer.
By me asking the question over and over again, it's always like the Socratic method or Platonic method or whatever you want to call it, because eventually we're going to come to the ultimate answer if we do this enough.
Well, you might, but, you know, I'm sticking with my answer, which is there is no answer. We can't do anything. I mean, Facebook is Facebook, which is our next subject. And, you know, social media in general, we're not going to get into it again, but you were in Clubhouse for a Scaramucci and saw what a disaster saw what a disaster that place is. You know, you're one of my better buddies. You almost ripped my throat out for saying Pulaski on Twitter. You know, I said to my kid sister posted pictures of my niece and nephew on Facebook. I was like, you know what? I don't like them. I've seen better pictures. She's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's what she says, my own sister, publicly on Facebook. And you want an answer?
Oh, you give alt.
Exactly.
I get the same stuff. Like I would hassle my sister on Facebook, like make comments or whatever. And it's like, and that's just what you do, right? You just be a big old doucher online. But if you just stop, you basically have to stop being online, because there's really no defense. There's no defense against the cynicism, the endless attacks, all this other garbage. So I guess I don't want you to be right, which is why I keep asking the question. I want to, as a techno-utopianist, as somebody who believes that technology can bring us together and fix a lot of our problems, I want to assume that it can fix almost every problem. That said, I know it can't. So, I mean, whatever, we're done. Oi.
Yeah. I mean, it's groups of five.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, you know, groups of five, groups of two. I mean, we'll eventually have a guest on the show, but we don't.
Oh yeah, we got to get our doppelgangers on.
Yeah, but I mean, we'll eventually get other people on the show. But quite frankly, I don't care if we do.
Because
I don't.
Yeah, no, I get you. No, it's not. I think
me and you got a vibe, and you know, I mean, yeah, it'll be interesting. I guess we could talk to other people doing interesting things, but, you know, more than three or four people, I think it loses it. That's where it all goes wrong.
So you're saying 70 people listening to 10 people talk on Clubhouse is not the answer?
No.
Okay.
No, I think the answer is, you know, a few thousand people optimistically listening to three or four people. Or two people. mean, right? That's podcasting. But it's podcasting plus.
I mean, that's always been my motto in terms of podcasting. It's usually got to be an interview. It's not about the hosts. We make it about ourselves simply because at this point we're exhausted. So let's just do it. But I always did for Technotopia very specifically. I wanted to get somebody else on just to talk to them to hear what they had to say. And I was a hit or miss. But I got a lot of really cool people, and I got a lot of. And I
was the opposite. I mean, I still do my own podcast where it's just me ranting mm-hmm. about stuff I'm too embarrassed to talk to you about, I guess. But I like the more intimate kind of vibes myself. Like I said, once it gets big, it gets bad. So anyway, right,
so speaking of
big and bad
and intimate vibes, Mark Zuckerberg posted today, we're updating our hate speech policy to ban Holocaust denial. We've long taken down posts that praise hate crimes and mass murder, including the Holocaust. But with rising anti-Semitism, we're expanding our policy to prohibit any content that denies or distorts the Holocaust as well. If people search for the Holocaust on Facebook, it will start directing you to authoritative sources to get accurate information. So I guess that's it. I guess we can't put Holocaust denialism on Facebook anymore.
I like that Zuckerberg finally became a mensch. Quote, maybe.
Maybe.
Yeah, I mean... Listen, the free speech thing is a hot topic issue, but this isn't free speech. This is just blatant disinformation and racist propaganda. And good for Mr. Zuckerberg and Ms. Sandberg and all the other Bergs over at Facebook. And, you know, they finally did the right thing. And I guess that's all there is to it. I don't know what else to say. Too late, usual Facebook nonsense. But all right, better late than never.
I mean, like, as you point out, like, there is no free speech on the internet. If it's your site and you host it and you do everything, if I have a box in my house and I post the most virulent garbage in the world, the ISP can still shut me down and it has every absolute right to shut me down because if I'm pumping garbage into the, if I'm pumping like, I don't know, oil into the sewers next to my garage, the sewer company should be able to shut me down. The water board should be able to shut me down. And the exact same way here, there's really, if people want free speech, they got to basically just have to stand outside and make a sign and walk around.
Yes, ISPs can take you down, but more than likely, truthfully, they probably wouldn't unless somebody really finds you and makes a stink.
Yeah, well, but I mean, they did it for the Proud Boys, for example. No, Google Pages did it for Proud Boys.
Right. No, but your point, of course, stands. There is no free speech. Facebook's a private company. They're getting bad press. It's bad for business. It's bad for the stock. It's bad for whatever, company morale, and they can do what they want to do, and that's the end of it. So that's black and white, but I'm saying even to play devil's advocate, there's really no argument, because it's not like, when I think of free speech, at least it has to be in the realm of reality if, mm-hmm. you know, you want to dialogue about it. So denying a factual thing, whether it's the amount of dead Jews or did we go to the moon or, you know, just basic 2 + 2 kind of logic, it's just stupid. It shouldn't be involved in the discussion about free speech.
Yeah. I don't know. It's silly that it took him this long to do it. But I mean, you have to believe, in my heart of hearts, I believe that these guys are implicitly not like awful, but you have to think to themselves, they have to be thinking to themselves, okay, if we get rid of all these Holocaust deniers, well, that's, I don't know, 6 million people who are going to disappear or whatever. Not that's a bad number, but you know what I mean? If we get rid of all the QAnon folks, we lose 30 million, I don't know, Midwesterners who really love QAnon. I think that's actually a higher number than, and if you actually look at these networks, I bet you, if you look at these networks, it looks like it's 30 million, but if you got rid of all the QAnon stuff, the actual people who you would get rid of is probably like 5 or 6. So it's actually pretty ridiculous
There's a lot of bot activity around all of it. There's a lot of Russian stuff, you know, those networks around all of that, you know, the numbers mean nothing to Facebook because numbers. Well, I mean, they're beyond numbers. Everything is about PR and antitrust and, you know, that kind of stuff at this point. So
I still think
in terms of if all the Bergs over there suddenly found a conscience, I don't necessarily agree with that. And I don't think they're good or bad either way. What probably makes them lean to the side of bad is just they're basically just like agnostic about everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look at everything so pragmatically with no, you know, human kind of element to any of it. And well, that's why they come human up with these bad decisions.
It's human on it's human to the degree that it's that they err on the side of accessing the most humans. That's the way to think about it. You have to these guys err. This is why a lot of like online news sites, and I'm grappling with this right now. You err on the side of accessing the most humans, and if the most humans want to read, I don't know, that the Armenian genocide wasn't real, then you just like say, yeah, go for it, do what you need to do. And the same thing happens for a lot of these, like there are a lot of these social media networks that you hear about, but you never know why they're there. We're going to talk about one in a second. And what happens is you get like one little group on there of like 10 million people. It's like all of Brazil uses this one social media thing called Minds, and they love it because it's like their free little thing that they just hang out on. And what are you going to do if they all get on there and say like, I don't know, Bolsonaro is the best guy in the world, and we hate everybody, we hate Colombians or something like that. You can't really stop it. It's like it because you destroy your base.
Yeah. It is what it is at this point. You know, like again, I just wish I had better answers or clever closings to your points. But
you're the philosophical one at this stage in the game, and I'm gonna be the cogent one about I don't know Bolsonaro. So look, have you tried Triller yet? Have you logged into Triller?
I never even knew Triller existed until like 3 or 4 days ago when I first heard about it.
So Triller is, they call it a TikTok rival, but what it is, it's basically the Gab of TikTok versions. So there's this guy, I forget what his name is. Where is he in here?
Kavanaugh, I think.
Yeah, Ryan Kavanaugh. And he's like, they just made it. And they just, in like Proxima Media or whatever, they just made this thing. And like, you and I can make one of these if we wanted to. It's not that difficult. But they want to go public. And
well, Ryan Kavanaugh's an interesting guy. He's an old Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
Who I believe got whacked and possibly charged. He was involved in some kind of hijinks, I believe. I'm positive almost. But yeah, he's an old Hollywood guy. He ran some mini studio. And what's interesting is that I guess I read what brought it to my attention was some article somewhere I read just a few days ago that they were paying crazy amounts of money.
Yeah.
To TikTok creators to jump platforms and renting houses and buying whatever equipment they need and renting Rolls Royces and cash payments. And they're going all in with the pay to play thing. I think it was in the New York Times, actually.
Yeah, there was. I think they're trying to steal him. So I'm looking at Kavanaugh's like
what company was he at?
Relativity Media. He founded Relativity Media.
Yeah, and that company, I believe, ran into hijinks.
So you can see kind of like he did Charlie Wilson's War 2007. Then he did Zombieland, which was all right. Then it kind of gets a little rough in about 2010. He did like Salt and Little Fockers. And then it just gets into like some real rough stuff near 2011, even into like and he only did two movies last. They did two movies as executive producer last in 2018, which were Hunter Killer and Strangers, which sounds like B movies. Anyway, so he's hitching his wagon to this star, and he's going to go public using a SPAC.
Well, that's the real, yes, and that's the real story here, is the rise of SPACs.
So a SPAC, what the heck, what does that SPAC stand for? I forget now. special purpose acquisition company. So they did this. They used to do this a lot. They used to do this in Australia, and they used to do this in Canada. And a lot of the a lot of cannabis startups did the same thing. So you basically have like a company. This is why Berkshire Hathaway is like Berkshire Hathaway. It used to be like a paper mill, and he backed into it. So what you do is you have a company that's already public, and it's trading for pennies on pennies in its history. And you basically have this one company, I don't know, Jim Shorts company, and it's publicly traded. It sells for 5 cents on 5 cents. So you come in and you say, hey, I'm going to buy your company for 10 cents and I'm going to become publicly traded. I'm going to back into this company. And there are some companies that are basically special purpose. They go public without any fund, without any business at all. And you basically just buy them to go public. So they go through all the rigmarole of becoming the public company. You just buy into them and become a public company. So is it legal? Yeah. Is it valuable? Probably. But I mean, it lets you raise cash quickly. You don't have to go through all the back and forth with like bankers and stuff. It's kind of like a get out of jail free card for a lot of these companies.
Well, I'm not the most financially savvy. But from what I understand, in the old days, as you mentioned with penny stocks, it was called a reverse takeover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And funny enough, back in the day, this is 100% true story, 1938 Media, my company, my mm-hmm. LLC, was contacted by Zag. I'm not kidding, Biggs. I forget how many years ago this was, but some banker contacted me about like doing something with Zag.
The case company?
Yeah. Yeah. This was a million years ago. Yeah. They were doing something weird. I was like, I make puppet shows. Like, what are you, and they, what the fuck and are they, you guys talking
and
about?
They wanted to buy?
They just wanted like to, yeah, it was something somehow merging my company with theirs for some reason. I was like, this whole thing sounds crazy. And that was that. But anyway, that's just some weird personal history. So in the old days, it was called a reverse takeover.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Was only done by like shady companies. As you said, an easy way to backdoor into becoming instantly public traded. So now, as you said, these new vehicles, and I guess they're called blank check companies.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Well, I mean, look at this. So like Zag, for example, very specifically, they trade on NASDAQ, and they're at about $3 right now. For whatever reason, I mean, you really don't know what the heck let me look at the 5-year. Oh, they're in the toilet. So they started out, it looks like in 2007 at about $1. They raised to about $18 in 2017, $20 in 2017. And wow. Now they're back in the toilet. It's about $2.
Wow.
Three and a quarter. And it just makes no sense why a company like this would need to be public. I can't. Unless you need like ready access cash to like make a new case, but that's like just take a loan.
Yeah.
That's yeah, really
I don't get how any of it works, but as you said, Triller and a bunch of other companies are going to be going that way, right? That Facebook guy, Social Capital, he started one, and Thiel started one. And
well, there's two ways to do it.
Du jour.
Yeah, it's the vehicle du jour. There's token sale. Token sale was a big thing a couple of years ago. That would have actually made a lot of sense if it had worked, but it's not going to work. So I guess we're stuck. All right. This has been Tech Hygiene. We went a little over, but I think it was a lot of fun. I'm John Biggs.
Lauren Feldman.
We will see you next week. Tech Hygiene is brought to you by Typewriter. Typewriter is your on-demand editor, and their amazing team of writers will make your book chapter, blog post, or email shine. Typewriter editors come from places like TechCrunch, Gizmodo, and the New York Times, and they offer low bulk rates for longer work. Check it out at typewriter.plus. That's typewriter.plus.